This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony. How would you write your resume if you knew it would make history? When Johann Sebastian Bach moved from Weimar to Köthen at the end of 1717, he was hoping to spend the rest of his life there. After an unhappy parting of the ways with the Duke of Weimar, which included about a month in jail, Bach had been hired as Kapellmeister, or music director, to His Most Serene Highness Leopold, Prince of Anhalt-Köthen. There were many reasons for Bach to be happy with his new job. It was the first time since the summer of 1703 that he was not employed as an organist. The court at Köthen was Calvinist, which meant that service music was restricted to unaccompanied hymns. And most of all, Bach's new patron, who was only 23, loved music and was a skilled performer on the violin, the viola da gamba, and the keyboards. However, in December of 1721, his Serenissimus got married, whereupon the musical interests of the said prince had become somewhat lukewarm, especially as the new princess seemed to be alien to the muses, end quote. Eventually, Bach left Köthen for Leipzig, taking charge of the music at the churches of St. Thomas and St. Nicholas, and becoming involved with the musical life at the university. He remained in Leipzig until his death. While he was at Köthen, though, Bach's chief task was to compose instrumental music and see to its performance. Not only was there music to be written for the court, but the Bach household made its own demands. Bach was already providing instruction to his first five children, including his sons Wilhelm Friedemann and Carl Philipp Emanuel, and after his first wife died suddenly, he married one of the court's sopranos, Anna Magdalena Wilken. She wanted lessons too, as well as more children, 13 more as it turned out. In response to all this, and in spite of whatever discontents he may have felt at Köthen, Bach was amazingly productive. Most of his concertos, sonatas, suites, and solo harpsichord works come from this period. The six pieces we now know as the Brandenburg Concertos were originally composed in the course of Bach's duties for Prince Leopold. But by the beginning of 1721, he was already beginning to feel restless, and when the opportunity arose, he bound together a presentation copy of the concertos and sent them off to His Royal Highness Christian Louis, Margrave of Brandenburg, which is just north of Berlin. That copy was accompanied by a letter in Bach's most courtly French and was, in effect, a request for employment. Several of the concertos exist in other versions for different solo instruments, but Bach clearly chose these particular concertos to impress the Margrave with his versatility as a composer. They are a wonderfully diverse group of pieces, not only in terms of instrumentation, but also structurally and timbrally, showing just how many sonic possibilities exist in a group of just 18 players. At a time when many composers drew music from the natures of specific instruments, Bach was the first to pay as much attention to how they sounded together as an orchestra. This is music that is full of itself in the best possible way, its textures, its colors, and its instrumentation. The Concerto No. 1 is scored for strings and bass with two hunting horns, three oboes, and bassoon, plus a solo violino piccolo, smaller than a standard violin and tuned slightly higher. In sound, form, and structure, this is the most complex concerto in the set. Right off the bat, Bach shows his feeling for texture by passing the melodic lines around from player to player. This effect is one of the signatures of the entire set. The unusual tuning of the violino piccolo gives it a brighter sound and a different set of sonic possibilities. It is the primary solo instrument in the Concerto No. 1. It's joined by one of the oboes in a duet for the adagio, but in general, the wind players together form something like a secondary solo group. The bass entrance of the melody leads to a famous harmonic collision. This is what music theorists used to call false relations, in which notes that would normally be unrelated are made to work together. Bach loved playing with these relationships. The final measures of the adagio make up one of the most extraordinary passages in all music. As the movement heads towards its final cadence, each note is again passed around from section to section, from texture to texture. Another quick allegro movement features more virtuoso writing for the violin, which would probably have been played by Bach himself. Normally, the concerto would end here after a quick third movement, the other five do, but Bach defies expectations by adding a minuet. With three contrasting interludes, a true trio for oboes and bassoon, a faster polonaise for strings only, and then, in a new meter, no longer a minuet, a virtuosic page for the two horns playing against all the oboes in unison. Just a few instruments sounding like an entire orchestra. And then finally, the full orchestra does come together to wrap things up. Two of the Brandenburgs are for strings alone, and there, Bach sets himself the challenge of creating contrast out of similarity. In this concerto, his task is the opposite, to integrate his most diverse group of solo instruments, trumpet, flute, oboe, and violin. The andante is a series of sighs for the three gentler-voiced soloists with accompanying bass. But what you remember about this concerto is the trumpet part, which might be the most spectacular sound in all of Baroque music. Concerto No. 3 is for strings alone, with bass in the harpsichord. Even though no instruments are specifically designated as soloists, Bach has written this piece so that everyone gets to be a soloist. He gets more textural variety out of these seven players, three violins, three violas, and a bass section, than you might expect from a group of similar instruments. Bach modeled his concertos on those of Vivaldi, and except for No. 1, the structure is fast, slow, fast. No. 3 is also unusual in that the slow movement, as written, consists of just two chords. It's clear from the original score that nothing is lost or missing, but the movement is so odd that some performances insert a solo harpsichord cadenza or a slow movement from another concerto to try to complete it. we may never know what Bach really intended. The great writer, satirist, and futurist Douglas Adams wrote of the finale that this is the music of flocking and swarming things, of things that flow and bubble and rise and fizz, of things tense and constrained that suddenly fly free, end quote. Melodies are thrown around like hot potatoes or a basketball at a Harlem Globetrotters game. It may sometimes be difficult to imagine Bach having fun, but not here. The soloists in Concerto No. 4 are a violin and two recorders. In the first movement, the solo violin dominates and the recorders are secondary. In the Andante, the recorders come forward while the violin provides the bass line in dialogue with the full ensemble. Another texture unique among the Brandenburg slow movements. The finale is mostly about the orchestra, but any violinist trying to negotiate Bach's scales at about a dozen notes per second will feel well taken care of. Bach himself must have played harpsichord in the Concerto No. 5. It's the first known concerto to feature a solo part for a keyboard instrument. A point emphasized by a spectacular 65-bar cadenza at the end of the first movement. During the affettuoso slow movement, the orchestra remains silent, but the concerto contrast continues. Sometimes the harpsichord is soloistic, usually in duet with either flute or violin, but at the beginning and the end, and three times in between, it blends in as an accompaniment. The violin and harpsichord trade off the spotlight in the finale. With all the soloists coming together at the end. The sixth concerto is also string-driven, but without violins. Bach's favorite instrument, the viola, carries the top line. This piece also introduced a sound that would have been new to Bach's audience, the contrast of the violas da gamba with their modern replacement, the cello. The adagio is an impassioned vocal duet like the adagio in No. 1. The finale is a gigue, as in No. 5. But how different adagios and gigues can be. The position in Brandenburg never did materialize, and Bach eventually moved on to Leipzig, but his witty, inventive, and wholly entertaining concertos still stand as the most remarkable job application ever assembled. This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony.